Together we all take a very deep breath. We see in the middle of our mind a little ball of golden light. We watch this light as it begins to grow larger and larger. Until now, it covers the entire inner vision of our mind. We see for ourselves within this light a beautiful temple. We see a garden surrounding the temple and a body of water which flows through the garden. We see that the inside of the temple is lit by this same beautiful golden light. And we're here, for we have been drawn together by the power and in the presence of God. We devote our time spent together as well as our relationships to one another to Him. We ask that His Holy Spirit within our mind so guide our thoughts, our feelings, and all of our perceptions, that we might grow into happier, more peaceful, more loving human beings. Thank you very much. Together, we all say, Amen. This morning, I'd like to begin with a little reading out of one of the exercises in the workbook, Lesson 181, which says, I trust my brothers who are one with me. A few of the paragraphs say this. Trusting your brothers is essential to establishing and holding up your faith and your ability to transcend doubt and lack of sure conviction in yourself. When you attack a brother, you proclaim that he is limited by what you have perceived in him. You do not look beyond his errors. Rather, they are magnified, becoming blocks to your awareness of the self that lies beyond your own mistakes and past his seeming sins as well as yours. Perception has a focus. It is this that gives consistency to what you see. Change but this focus, and what you behold will change accordingly. Your vision now will shift to give support to the intent which has replaced the one you held before. Remove your focus on your brother's sins, and you experience the peace that comes from faith in sinlessness. This faith receives its only sure support from what you see in others past their sins. For their mistakes, if focused on, are witnesses to sins in you, and you will not transcend their sight and see the sinlessness that lies beyond. Therefore, in practicing today, we first let all such little focuses give way to our great need to let our sinlessness become apparent. We instruct our minds that it is this we seek, and only this, for just a little while. We do not care about our future goals, and what we saw an instant previous has no concern for us within this interval of time wherein we practice changing our intent. We seek for innocence and nothing else. We seek for it with no concern but now. And further down it says, we recognize that we have lost this goal if anger blocks our way in any form. And if a brother's sins occur to us, our narrowed focus will restrict our sight and turn our eyes upon our own mistakes, which we will magnify and call our sins. So for a little while, without regard to past or future, should such blocks arise, we will transcend them with instructions to our minds to change their focus as we say, it is not this that I would look upon. I trust my brothers who are one with me, unquote. So the Course in Miracles says, with our perceptions of people as well as our perceptions of anything else, we are at choice what we see. Because in any situation, and certainly people's behavior is certainly an example of this, there are different things that you can focus on. Because no picture is very simple, is it? So you have a choice with people all the time, the Course in Miracles says, whether you're choosing to focus on their innocence or focus on their guilt. Now, whatever was this the reading we were just going through made clear, what you choose to focus on then becomes an instructor to your mind. Your mind has great power. And so if you choose to focus on someone's innocence, then the things that illustrate their innocence, you will notice. You will consciously notice. But if you choose to focus on their guilt, then what you will notice are the things they do that you could see them as guilty for. And I have something to remind you of, and that's none of us are perfect. None of us are perfect masters. If we were, the Course says, we would not be here. We are not perfect, or we wouldn't be here. Now, it is our mission to become perfect here. But the interesting thing is, remember how perfection comes about through a detox-like pattern. What that means is all the areas where we are not yet in grace, not yet in purity, any situation that we could not handle with grace or with purity is bound to come up, because that's where we have an opportunity to grow. So one of the myths, one of the things I really want to get into today, is this dangerous myth of the spiritual personality. Right? Because let's see how this works. One of the things that we're talking about here, and before we move from that reading, is it says, you know, the reason it's important to focus on other people's innocence rather than their guilt is because what you choose to focus on in other people, the setup is this. There's only one of us here, and everybody's your crucifier or your savior, the court says, determined by what you choose to be to them. So if you focus on someone's mistakes, you will not escape focusing on your own. And what you want more than anything else in this life is to give yourself a break. Because you might beat up on other people, but your beating up on other people is usually nothing compared to the way you beat up on yourself. Right? So if you are willing to see that love of people, unconditional love, means you love people regardless of what they do. That your love for people is not based on what they do, it's based on who and what they are, as God created them. Now, when people make mistakes, it's not that in that moment they became less perfect. When people make mistakes, in that moment, they did not express their perfection. And I don't know about you, but it's very clear to me that in any given moment when I didn't, in that moment, I could have if I would have if I could have, right? And other people are just like you. So the issue of unconditional love is realizing that people's personality, people's stuff, what people say, what people do, is not what they are, not who they are. And every time somebody behaves less than perfectly around us, it's not, you know, with the tendency of the ego mind that's been into spirituality, the tendency of the ego mind is to say, well, you know, they're into spirituality, so they still have to go through their lessons too. That can be very arrogant. That's the old-fashioned forgiveness. I get that all the time. Well, I know you still have your lessons to learn too. Excuse me. Anytime anything happens between two people, there are two people who have a lesson to learn. Okay? Have you ever seen or been in a relationship where it was all one person stuff? Right? So the lesson is not only for that person in that their stuff comes up, and if their stuff came up, they know it, and it's for them to work through, and sometimes your job is to tell them, absolutely, no doubt about it. But then your job, no doubt, we'll be getting into that in a moment. But the issue is that it's your job to recognize it for what it is. And even a sentence like, well, you know, they still have their stuff to work through, is the old-fashioned kind of forgiveness, what the Course in Miracles calls forgiveness to destroy, that you're still judging them. I don't care what kind of sugarcoating it has, like, well, you know, I know they have their lessons to learn too. Right? So you see a lot of this in the, and so really, in that case, you're failing to learn your lesson, which is not to judge. I remember I used to watch movies, and it was such a tiring experience. You think I'd been hired by NBC to give my opinions. I felt that I had to say, well, what do I think about what that character did? What do I really, who cares? I mean, it is what it is. You can't, and the fact I would do that with a movie is so sick, because that magnifies the movie. No one needs a press release from you, right? And not only is that true in a movie, that's true in life. It is what it is. They are who they are. Now, when you were in school, in the eighth grade, wasn't everybody in class with you learning lessons? I mean, hadn't the textbook been given to everyone? There are no, what is it called in college when somebody's just an observer? Audit? Nobody's auditing this planet. Nobody's auditing, right? We're all here, and we all have this curriculum, and we're all learning. Now, what the ego does is, if we accepted that and recognized that that's all that any of us are doing here, and this stuff is coming up for all of us to move beyond, we would move so much quicker. But we totally stop because everybody feels that they have to have an opinion over, you know, what this person did. So what the ego mind has done is to come up, see, all the screen of the ego is, and the face, the veil in front of the face of Christ, is the personality. Quote, the personality. Now remember, you are not your personality, actually. So, but that's what the ego focuses on, how you behave, what you say, all that stuff. Now, the message of the course is extend the focus of your perception beyond what your physical eyes see, beyond what your physical ears hear. Extend your perception into what your heart knows, the vision of the third eye, the vision of the Holy Spirit. All right, but the ego doesn't want us to do that. The ego wants us to stop with the personality, because if we stop with the personality, we never get through to that place of sinlessness. Now, what happens when we get through to the place of sinlessness, you see, is that everybody would grow through their stuff in a second. Because when people are accepted, regardless of how they behave, then that doesn't mean not telling them, doesn't mean not going, you know, having the conversation. That's not what I mean at all. But from an attitude of pure love and compassion, if what we focus on is people's sinlessness beyond that, then that would mean people would have permission to go through it and get right beyond it, and then they don't need to do that anymore. Oh, but the ego doesn't want us to do that, you see. The ego wants us to stop at personality. And the ego is so clever. So one of the most delusional parts of the ego's thought system is coming up with this idea of the goody-goody. You see, the spiritual personality, the myth of the so-called spiritual personality. And it is a very important thing for us to look at as serious spiritual seekers, because what it implies is that there's a certain kind of almost like tone of voice that goes along with being spiritual. Now, let's talk about this. There's a code of ethics, even in the criminal mind. And we talked about when that thing happened in Tiananmen Square with the Chinese, and we talked about how something, it's an archetype, it's a very deep, deep, hideous archetype, that you do not shoot unarmed people. You do not shoot your children, and you do not shoot unarmed people. Well, there's another one, and that's that you do not shoot people in the back. But if you are afraid of confrontation, if you don't really think that it's spiritual to tell them, you shoot them in the back. You screw them indirectly. And this is what occurs a lot with this passive-aggressive behavior that comes from people who say, well, it's not spiritual to do that. I have never been violated like I have been by people who wouldn't just tell it to me to my face. Right? Those are the ones to watch out for. Right? Because what this generation then comes up with, because there's this fear of confrontation, this fear of just saying it, this fear of being direct. You know, that's why Easterners, sometimes New Yorkers are considered rude. But you see, I come from the South, so I've seen how this really works, you see. Because a lot of times, people, let's say a New Yorker is considered, God, they're so rude, but really they're just direct, get out of the road. Right? That's direct. It's a direct get out of the road. So you say to them, I'm sorry, I'm really depressed, or whatever it is. And the New Yorker, in my experience, is very, I say, oh, you're depressed. Oh, God, I have a therapist. You should call them. Right? Now, this is the Southerner to watch out for. Hi, how you doing? And you say, well, I don't know. I tried to get off Valium cold turkey, and I tried to kill myself the other night, and the Southerner says, good, tell your mama I said hi. Tell your mama I said hi. I swear, I don't know. Tell your mama I said hi. Like, I'm so sweet. Tell your mama I said hi. This is like, you tell your actual truth, you know, and they're like, good. They didn't hear a thing. But it's this sweet veneer. It's this sweet veneer. You know, in the South, as a matter of fact, it doesn't mean that every New Yorker is that way or that every Southerner is that way. What it's saying is that there's this veneer of sweetness that may not be sweet. The things in personality to be careful about are loyalty, real character, real integrity. Real loyalty is what occurs when you're not there. You see, if you get this myth of what it means to be so spiritual and everybody's so nice to each other, that doesn't cover how you behave when the person's not there, the subtle ways that we can undermine one another. You see? So when you get this fear of confrontation or fear of speaking directly because it's not considered spiritual, this is what's so very, very dangerous. We have this idea that spiritual looks a certain way or it has a certain gentle tone to it. You know, one of the people that I've learned from in my life amazingly, is someone who has one of the hugest soul. I don't know if there's such a thing as a huge soul. You know, we all have huge souls because we're part of God. But this person is one of the I've just learned tremendous amounts from this person about what real bigness is. Real showing up. Now, this person's personality does not have all soft edges. I mean, or this person does not also. There are edges in this person's personality. And I, as among as other people, have had times where I just have fallen apart in the presence of this person not speaking to me with just the kindness that I thought, you know, it's like, if this person doesn't just say something exactly right, or if this person wouldn't return my phone calls or something at a certain time or something like that, I would just like fall apart. And my ego would go into major stuff about this person really should do a course in miracles or whatever. And yet what became clear to me in knowing this person was, weasel, lighten up. And I realized that what had occurred there with me and this person was very much what I'd seen occur actually with other people towards me. This person's presentation is just out there. This person says it the way it is. Now, if you listen to what this person is saying, I'm not saying everything. I mean, we're not talking perfect people here. But we're saying sometimes, even when this person's presentation might be gruff and I'm like cowering in a corner because the way he's saying it, if I listen to what he's saying, it's usually the most loving, helpful advice that I've ever been given or whatever. And I've seen that in my own personality. I felt that that's been so helpful to me in watching how other people would react to me at times, because I would get stuck. I would get stuck at the presentation rather than listening to what was there. And when we have this myth of this, you know, sometimes you see that. That's why in spiritual seeking it's so important. Sometimes I've been so shocked in my own life if some people would say things to me about certain things I'd done or certain things I'd said, and then people would say things like, well, I guess people just expected it to be different because you give lectures on the Course in Miracles. And Mike, understand, you have your lessons to learn. But Jews are born yelling, a lot of us. You know, there are just different parts of the culture where we have different ways of things, just different ways of expressing ourselves. And so as we realize that the spiritual life is not about this area to have separate from the rest of our lives. There's business, there's all this stuff that you do in areas of your life, and then you're going to have this little enclave called your spiritual life. And everybody's going to be trying to behave a certain way in this little enclave. It does not make pure people. It makes for childish people. It makes for childish people, because people to have a sophistication of the world and to know that you can live within the world, you're going through your stuff, of course you're going through your stuff, but in learning as a Course in Miracles student or any other serious spiritual path, remember, there's a speeding up of what you're going through. There is a speeding up of what you're going through. There's a speeding up going on this planet right now. Especially, I mean, just look at even like people getting sober. I mean, everybody knows that. In a way, you don't have to have been a drunk or an alcoholic to be going through the sobriety process. Because what that means is that you've kept stuff down for a long time. If you were getting sober, what that means is there's a lot of stuff that was pushed down for a long time that's now coming up that you didn't deal with. But you don't have to have been a drunk or an alcoholic to have basically been hiding for a decade or so. Living in this society, the Course in Miracles would say we fell asleep the moment we were born. It's no accident that in those fairy tales of Sleeping Beauty and Snow White, it's no accident that the process, you know, the Wicked Queen walked into the situation as soon as she was born. Remember, like, there was the excitement about the little baby being born, and that's when the spell got cast on the infant. What the symbol is that we all started falling asleep the moment we were born living on this world, in this world. So as soon as you take on a spiritual path, as soon as you get serious, it's like the process of sobriety. And especially if you are in love with someone, or especially if someone is really a learning partner for you, it's in the most potent relationships that stuff comes up. And the father lets it out. My father has this, like, aversion to controversy. He never raises his voice, and he has this major aversion to controversy. No controversy, no controversy. My father has had vicious ulcers for years. My mother doesn't have those. My father was the one with the ulcers. This business of, you know, people who, like, don't say it and don't feel they can go through it because they might be judged, it won't look good. To take spirituality and add it on that turns into cancer. It turns into ulcers. It turns into disease. There is nothing healthy about it. And then if we learn, you know, it's like, if I remember... In acting, there's a principle in acting where a director would say something like, if you go too far, I can pull it back. But if you don't even let it out, I can't work with it. Right? So you have to sometimes let it out and then work on the personality aspects of it. But, you know, I remember in that book, Bartholomew's book, I Come as a Brother, which is a beautiful book if none of you have read it. He said, if any of you haven't, he says, don't get into this thing of what enlightened looks like. He says the most enlightened being on the planet is the infant, because the infant lets it out. And really, I know in my own life, and I know you know in yours, a lot of the times when I do inappropriately let out a vicious remark or something like that, that's not in every case, but a lot of times we let it out or we get angry, it's because of all the stuff that we didn't say as we were going along. right? That's where anger erupts. And like in relationships, where a person doesn't say anything. I mean, I was with a person like that for a long time. I mean, I would just think everything was fine and then just, right? Just out, you know, eruption. Because of the little things that hadn't been said as we went along. And in that case, that person thought that it was unspiritual to do that because it would be looked like he was trying to change me or whatever. And it's not, we must really open up here and really grow up in this area and know that the Course in Miracles says the holy instant, the Course says the holy instant is not a moment where everybody's, nowhere in the Course does it say holy instant is a moment where everybody's coming from the, you know, from this, it is genuinely sweet. See, it's almost like a redefinition of sweet. But the Course says the holy instant is a moment of total communication. Total communication given and total communication received. There is nothing healthy about people who hold it in all the time. And there's nothing, you know, even when they're feeling this or they're feeling that. And like I said, a lot of that now comes from this feeling that, well, that wouldn't be the spiritual thing to say or the spiritual thing to do. So then we judge each other based on that. Well, it's not very spiritual. And then we tell other people, well, they did that, but they, you know, they still have their lessons to learn. Of course we all have our lessons to learn. But the issue is that doesn't mean that we're failures. And the issue is sometimes that somebody's style is not what determines the content. And that's a message in the Course in Miracles, is the difference between form and content. So sometimes I know, like in my own relationship with that person, where I used to just fall apart if that person didn't look at me right, or if that person didn't, whatever it was in the realm of form. And I think what happened with that person, because I've known other people having reactions to this person, it's really that that person's love is so huge. That person's power, powerful, actually love and hugeness is so much that your personality gets stuck around it. And the message in the Course is concentrate beyond with this veil. It's not about what this veil is. It's about what is beyond the veil. It's not about the style, the form. It's about the content. And as we're willing to recognize that in people, it can be a tremendous learning. It can be a tremendous learning to me because sometimes some of my favorite people have been sort of outwardly tough. Some of the most loving people I have known have been outwardly tough. And some of the people that I've had to watch in my life have been outwardly candy bars. Right? And be real careful with that. Don't fall into that in terms of the spiritual path, because it's very childish, it's very unsophisticated, it's very unreal, it's very untrue. It's not based on reality. And what's based on reality is that people are who they are in any given moment, and we can choose to interact with them based on that, but based on the fact that we all love one another. And that's why people are so afraid of confrontation. People are afraid of confrontation because we're afraid if we show you the stuff that's coming up for me in this moment that you will leave. And that's why this is so important. That's why people get into this business of, well, I'll only be really sweet in a certain kind of way so you won't leave. That's what committed relationships are. Committed relationships are, no, everything's going to come up and nobody will leave the room. And there's a way in which we have to start being committed friends. See, if we're committed friends, then we can talk later about learning how to be committed love and intimate relationships. We can even start that with our friends, that our friends might feel, you can say it to me. That your friends might feel that you can go through whatever you're going through. That the form is not what determines the content. Doesn't make it a less loving relationship. And for us to stop or say, because that wasn't cool, because it wasn't really the spiritual way to respond. I certainly don't want anything that comes from these lectures to enable people to hold the space that that's what spirituality is. True spirituality is a much more fierce, much more fierce power than that. If you ever read the lives of the saints, any of the real saints, read their lives, you'll definitely see that myth busted. And for that matter, you might read the New Testament. Read about Jesus. I mean, it's unbelievable. According to the ego's voice, if you actually read the book, he was rude. I mean, he wasn't as bad as that movie made him to be. I mean, that was positively premenstrual constantly. I mean, I couldn't believe that movie. But at the same time, Scorsese was doing us a favor in trying to bust that myth. I mean, look, Jesus is a perfect example. You see where all that came from? If this is like goody-goody all the time. So Scorsese wanted us to see it's not like that. I mean, like I always say, it's nice to know he was real. I don't think it's a gift to think he was like me on my worst day all the time. But that he is real is a gift. And I think that's why some people had that myth on it. So that's what I wanted to say. It's true of Jesus. It was true of Jesus. Jesus might not have walked here and always said what you wanted him to say. And that's his, and we'd read the book, right? Especially if you weren't Jewish. It was very odd in that book. He says, read the book. And that's true of the saints, and it's true of you, and it's true of me. The problem is not that we are who we are. The problem is not that we don't always talk with pastels. The problem is not that we have don't have pastel personalities all the time. The problem is the ego's belief that we should. So let's look at that, and let's know that it's okay. A great artist uses deep purple as well as pale pink. And in the weather, there are huge storms, as well as there are, you know, just beautiful sunny days. And when there are huge storms, that doesn't make the weather patterns bad. You know, that's just what is. And when people can really be people, I don't understand. You know, I want to say one last thing. Pat Allen has a great expression. She talks, if you go up to Pat Allen and you say to her, oh, this happened and this happened and this happened, there's all this drama in my life, her response is likely to be, oh, how creative you are. Okay? She's so wonderful that way. She really makes it clear that creativity is not just in a painting or in a movie or in a sculpture. It's like I say all the time, the greatest art is living your life. So when you tell her about all this drama in your life, she's liable to say, oh, how creative. And you make it, yes, creative. Now, if you took all this drama in your life and you put it into a screenplay and it won an Oscar, people would say to you, congratulations, you won an Oscar. But if you just did it in your life, they might say to you, that's pretty dramatic, don't you think? Well, yeah. What's wrong with that? That's the new put down I hear a lot. It sounds pretty dramatic. Well, so's the birth of a child. So's a storm. So's a mountain range. And sometimes in the greatest drama, the sounds get a little loud. And that's all it is. And my only last thing about that, I know I want to say one last thing. This could go on forever. Well, a little last thing. There's one little thing we have to keep in mind about that, too. And that's that in addition to the spiritual prejudice around that, we have a sexist prejudice around that. And that's that not only is it not okay for the spiritual student to behave a certain way, but the one that we all really have to look at in terms of the ego is that women don't behave that way. You know? Because I have seen things in my life where if a man did it, and I'm not saying we do this as individuals, but it's a societal prejudice to look at. If a man did it, boy, he's serious and he's about business and he gets a job done. If a woman does it, boy, she's a bitch on wheels, isn't she? So let's just be real careful. Just to know that we are who we are and we're all so creative, as Pat Allen would say, and nobody needs a press release from any of us about anybody else's personality. Nobody needs your opinion. That the job for us always is just to watch and just to know and just to love, just to be willing to focus on innocence and to know that beyond all the personality stuff, there are just souls in school. Thank you very much. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much.